You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
I'm going to pass it over to Daniel now with a piece about ChatGPT, I believe.
True, it's true. I used it a little while ago. And you go to a website, make an account, you arrive in a chat screen, and you can type questions. Behind this complex technology is a form of artificial intelligence. The program uses all the language that is available on the internet. The more people use it, the more the program learns. This is how the chatbot works. Launched by OpenAI in November 2022, ChatGPT can do a lot of things. It can write coherent paragraphs of argument and stories. It can write movie scripts, poems, lectures for teachers, essays, lyrics of songs. Recently, it also showed it can even write a scholarly article that would be accepted by journals. Then there's also DALL-E, another AI system that generates images and artwork. And the question I had is, how should we value these technologies? What will be the effects of such technologies on our own creative process? I spoke about this with Nir Ezikovic, professor of philosophy at the University of Massachusetts in Boston, and he's also the director of the Applied Ethics Center at that university.
What will artists, but everyone using a creative process for their work, like also journalists or scientists, lose if the creative process is taken over or made superfluous by bots like ChatGPT and DALL-E?
Yeah, good question. Thanks, Daniel. I think the risk, if you want to call it that way, is that this kind of technology gives us a bit of a strange view or understanding of what creativity involves. I think, you know, where this takes us is a closing of the gap between having an idea and realizing it, having an idea and executing it. And the risk there is that we will start seeing carrying out of our ideas as a kind of superfluous, tedious, boring task that can be relegated to a machine, where the really important thing is just sort of having the thought, having the original notion. And I think that's problematic. I think that's problematic because I'm not sure that you can separate having an idea and its realization. I think the slow, gradual realization, you know, is sort of where the idea actually gets realized, carried out. So to your question, in summary, my sense is that this technology puts too much emphasis on just having ideas. It makes a artificial distinction between having ideas and carrying them out, as if carrying them out didn't really kind of refine, improve, and actually create the idea at the end of the day. And it denies the artist, the writer, the journalist, enjoyment and the sense of immersion in their activity.
How will ChatGPT and DALL-E influence the creative industry, do you think? Do those technologies put an entire class of creative workers at risk of losing their occupation?
So the technology has the potential to put certain kinds of writers out of business, certain kinds of illustrators out of business. You know, overall, on average, I think the level of writing is not great yet, but it's improving at such a rate that I think it will be great pretty soon.
How will it change the experience of people experiencing art? So what will the consumers of art lose if the creative process is made superfluous by those technologies?
Yeah, terrific question. That's, you know, that's a more speculative response, I have to admit. But you have to ask yourself if what we enjoy about a piece of writing, what we enjoy about a piece of music, what we enjoy about a piece of art isn't in part the fact that some kind of human effort, human gift, human talent went into it, a talent that we can't completely explain, can't completely account for. And as we did in the piece, I'll just point you to a famous scene from the movie Gattaca.
You didn't know?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Wonderful, wasn't it? 12 fingers are one, it's how you play.
That piece can only be played with 12.
In that movie, there's this scene where protagonists, the main characters, attend this piano recital, and the piano recital is absolutely transporting. The music is remarkable. You can see this music has a deep sort of impact on them. It's a very difficult piece to play. And after the piece is played, the pianist kind of throws his gloves to the audience, and you see that each glove has 6 fingers rather than 5. The pianist was genetically engineered to have 12 fingers so that they can play particularly difficult pieces. And the question that raises is, if you know that now, once you've listened to the piece, does that knowledge retroactively change how you experienced it, how you feel about it? Does it sort of diminish your sense of awe, your sense of transportation, this your sense of amazement at the artistic achievement, knowing that it was synthetically generated in some way? That's the kind of question that's raised about the experience of the person who's actually viewing the art, reading the art, listening to it.
A bit also a more philosophical question about the difference between humans and bots. The general question could be, how do humans differ from machines or bots? But also, how does the creative process that happens in a ChatGPT and DALL-E differ from the creative process of humans? Because those technologies work in a way where they gather all the data, all the existing data and content, and devise something that is not identical to anything else. You could say that's also how creativity works with humans. But what makes that creative process that happens in humans different from the creative process of those technologies?
That's a really interesting philosophical question indeed. I guess 2 observations. One is, can you actually properly say that an AI, that an algorithm is creative? Or does creation and creativity require a degree of self-consciousness on part of the creator, such that if a machine, if a AI or a machine learning system is not self-conscious, it can't by definition be creative? So do we have to in some way know that we are engaged in a creative pursuit to be creative in the first place? Is creativity dependent on self-consciousness? Insofar as that's the case, at least in the current stage of the technology, generative AI is not self-conscious. That may or may not change in the future. The other more concrete answer to your question is, these large language models are still trained on existing data. But that still means that they have an inherently conservative bias. Namely, they are making manipulations on what is out there. What is out there on the internet has its own selection bias depending on the databases that they're looking in. In short, the technology works only on existing data, and arguably a creative human being doesn't necessarily only create on the basis of existing data. So there's a conservative bias that's not necessarily there for a human creator.
To make art takes communication of emotions also, or ideas, empathy. And I wouldn't say those technologies are capable of that.
Yeah, I mean, one question is, if you can mimic it well enough so that somebody else can tell, if the technology passes the sort of whatever version of the Turing test as creative. So can you have a Turing test, if you will, for creativity? My sense is that you can't, and that Turing test is sort of limited here.
How do you value the ethics of those technologies?
To me, in some ways, the most interesting question is, do these kind of technologies degrade our skills? So for example, think about writing and its relationship to thinking. In higher education and in secondary education, we often think that writing well is a tool or a key to thinking clearly and critically. Well, what happens if ChatGPT does to writing what calculators did to arithmetic? And most of us gradually will have our ability to write degraded because there'll be a machine that on average can do it as well or better. We will then lose not only the ability to write and create beautiful poetry, stories, reportage, or what have you, but also the ability to think critically that comes with writing. And that's a big moral loss, right? If you can't think critically, you have a harder time to consider what the authorities around you are doing and if it's problematic or not.
That was Nir Isikovits, professor of philosophy and director of the Applied Ethics Center at the University of Massachusetts in Boston.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.